Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those Muslim old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Yes, and we're live talking about fusion reactions.
But I would say, as far as quantity of energy on Earth, there's a whole lot more hydrogen on Earth than there is like uranium or materials for refining and destabilizing to make plutonium and stuff like that. So
yeah,
not going to run out anytime soon if we get that figured out to where we can handle the fusion reaction. So. They can do fusion. The problem is they can't manage it. You can't build a reactor to run a hydrogen fusion system. It runs away and ends up destroying the reactor because it puts out so much energy.
Yeah.
So
So anyway, everybody, you're listening to Shaziz Radio at ShazizRadio.com, and sometimes the pre-show is better than the show itself, because the high-tech terminology usually ends up being the right way and that kind of stuff. All right, so basically talking about water for the moment, being one of the most powerful substances on the earth. See, I was going to say element, but Thomas corrected me. Thank you, Thomas. And then he was still talking during the break after, well, like, as soon as I fired up the show, so here we are, we're live. Yeah. Great for radio.
Anyway, now let's have it. Now let's have it. We got to do it right by having some dead air.
Yeah, dead air. Okay. On the count of one. One. How's that?
That's college radio quality dead air.
All right. So anyway, I hadn't posted any links down there, but I have seen a few things that I'd like to talk about. When we talk about water, there's a lot of different potentials what you can actually do with water. And here recently, I made a nifty little water wheel that I'm going to use a couple different forces as they occur to pump water up the hill. There's a bunch of different ways to build all kinds of different pumps that you can actually pump water up a large lift. Like, say, I'm going to probably go about 30 feet up, all right, and then over about a couple hundred feet. So I'm going to pull water up out of the creek, but I'm going to use the creek itself to do all the work. And essentially what my gizmo is going to be is as simple as possible, just to see if I can actually get it to work, is that they sell these nifty little drills, pumps that you can hook to your drill and you can pump. It'll pump about 3 gallons of water per minute, which basically equals out to about 100 and some odd gallons per hour. I ain't done the exact math on it. I did do the exact math on it, but I can't remember the numbers now. Anyway, so I got to looking at that. You know, when the creek is running good and strong, it'll turn a good little water wheel, which should if I gear it right, should be able to get the water pump to turn that water pump. Then I also got to thinking about the Venturi effect. If I throw a Venturi valve on there in the mix, so basically, when you got a Venturi going on, when you're shooting water through one side of the pipe, it's creating a vacuum on the other side of the pipe. Some of the people in aquaponics and hydroponics will use the Venturi effect to actually oxygenate the water. You know, they'll suck atmosphere as they're pumping the water through. It'll suck air in there and make the nifty little bubbles and give the fish oxygen. What do you think? Eh?
Should work.
Yeah. So anyway, I was thinking, you know, when that water wheel's
when you wish upon a star, what?
Yeah, that'd be cool too. Especially if one falls in my yard. I don't need it to fall where I wanted a pond anymore, because now I have a pond, so I don't need a hole there anymore. I got one.
Well, if you get one that falls that's actually big enough to cause a disturbance in your pond there, you can probably crack that thing open, get the materials in and out of it, and sell it off and afford enough land to have 100 ponds.
Well, that'd be cool.
Even little tiny gemstones found in meteors are practically priceless.
Not to mention the earthquake we'd probably get. Anybody feel that this morning? How about you in Texas and Oklahoma? Oklahoma was, I guess that's where they got the hit. That's how I woke up. See, the only reason why there's a mad science show this morning, because I, like a fool, I forgot to set my alarm last night. And so I was woken up about 7...
You haven't learned the secret of not admitting anything, man.
Oh, well, I was always taught that honesty was the best policy. I guess I probably shouldn't, volunteer new information.
Yeah, I would say you're not being honest, you're oversharing.
Well, that's how...
if somebody asks and you say, no, I was getting up, then, you know, yeah, that's fine. But if you don't mention that you weren't going to get up to nobody, then... And they didn't ask, then I guess, you know, no harm, no foul.
Oh, my mom had this nifty little trick she used to play on me all the time. She'd be like, you know, whenever she knew I did something wrong, she'd come to me and she'd be telling me, she said, "You got something you want to tell me? Don't you lie to me, because I already know what you did." And so I'd be looking through the long list of possible discrepancies, and I'd start to pick that least the least one out of the bunch so I wouldn't get, you know, the maximum penalty or whatever. She said, well, I didn't know about that, but now you're in trouble for that too, right? But she did that to me all the time, man. I incriminated myself as a child so many times it wasn't even funny. So anyway, yeah, I was woke up this morning, and I guess it was a 5.6, they said, down there in Oklahoma, and we could feel it all the way over here in Missouri. They said they felt it in St. Louis and Kansas and all the places in between us and Oklahoma, and Texas was supposed to feel it. Did you feel it?
Anybody? No, we're in Oklahoma, so yeah, of course we felt it.
Oh. That's right. That's down in your neighborhood, ain't it?
Right.
Ha! Man, did anything fall off the shelves?
No, I didn't have any issues here. It just sounded like there was a big earth mover right out in the yard on the other side of the house while I was standing in the kitchen. Well, didn't even really feel much, like, you know, no more than basically you'd feel if you were standing on a bridge while a truck goes over. It's about what it felt like, so.
Well, why is it the further away you get more motion out of the deal? Because, I had stuff was rattling off the walls, and I was about ready to get up and start yelling out inside the other room, telling everybody to stop running through the house or whatever was going on, because it's like you're knocking stuff off the walls, acting a fool. And then I realized, because it went on for almost a minute, I realized,
right.
What the heck, this is...
Yeah, it lasted a while here, too. That was kind of strange.
Yeah. But either way, I didn't have to go out there and yell at anybody. Everybody else started working their way towards the center of the house, saying, man, was that an earthquake? And I was like, yep, that sure was. All right, well, that was exciting. So the earth's moving around here. We're getting things done. So anyway, I'm building a little water well. I'll put a video out there on YouTube as soon as I get that thing together and going. And I'm going to use that to pump. The pump that I ordered should be here sometime shortly. It said around the 7th. They're usually pretty close to the right time. Today's the 3rd, so probably 4 days from now. Maybe I'll get lucky and they'll bring it sooner. But anyway... I was thinking that, you know, using all, just the mechanical force alone of what the water already does, there's people out there that make river pumps. Have you ever seen a river pump? It's usually like a cone-shaped thing, and it uses the, Archimedes screw kind of concept, where it's got a hose inside there.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever the cone is turning into water, it's got a propeller on the front, and so you've got like a little tow rope. You put the tow rope out there, and this thing's floating in the water, and the propeller will start spinning this thing, which in turn will spin the coiled up hose inside there, and half of the deal it'll be grabbing air, and the other half it'll be grabbing water, so you get like water pockets and air pockets inside there, which forces the water up and pumps it. So, what the heck in tarnation going on there?
Where?
No, in the chat room. Never mind. Sorry, got distracted. I should never even look in there whenever. Anyway, so if you can understand what this does, it's like floats in the river. The river, as it's trying to wash the thing downstream, turns a little propeller that then in turn turns the corkscrewed... hose inside there, and it pumps water up the hill. And they had some pretty good ones that pump water pretty far. And then the other one is where you take it's kind of like on the same concept a little bit, but you take a big spiral on a flat side of the water wheel, and you spiral your hose around through there. Then it has a joint that can turn, and so as it picks up the water, it goes down through that tube and then squirts it out the other end. What they call those doggone joints that can move? Swivel joint. It's a water swivel joint.
Mm-hmm.
So it's if you ever seen them old style paddle wheel boats, like the river boats. It looks like one of those paddles there that has a big water hose that's coiled up around the deal, and in the center, one goes to the pipe that you're pumping the water out. And they're pretty effective. There's a video out there that I saw yesterday on YouTube where they was actually pumping it, and it had to be at least a 30-foot tall bridge. It's pumping it up over from the river up about 30 feet and then, you know, down the street a little ways.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you take all these forces and, you know, you can get equal force from whatever pressure you can get from the water. But there are ways that you can amplify that pressurization by, like, you know, ramming that water through a funnel, you know, so you're bringing that down and you're bringing the pressure up, and so now you can squirt the water farther out the other end of the funnel.
Mm-hmm.
So using that and using the actual motion of the water itself to do some mechanical work, and then throwing in some little bit of physics like the Venturi effect, then you can actually get amplification. Is basically the easiest way I can explain it, of where you want to move that water. Still got the same amount of force that you started. You didn't add none, you didn't get none. Or you see what I'm trying to say here?
Mm-hmm.
So, using all these basic laws of physics and a couple little tricks that we know, I'm going to use that to pump water about 30 feet up and into a pond that's probably about maybe a couple hundred feet over. So, and I'll do a video on that to see how that works. But while I was doing this, it sparked off a whole lot of different possibilities that I was thinking about. Because, you know, you're not always going to want to keep putting water into that pond, because it's obviously going to start flowing back the other direction. But when I started thinking about, once the pond gets to the point where it's going to go back over the spillway again, there's where you could actually use that, some of that force to build a water generator going back the other direction. You see where I'm going here? No?
No,
yeah?
No, I'm fighting with your chat because it's not wanting to let me send something.
Oh, man. That stinks. I said yes. You said wake up in there.
Well, that's not what I'm trying to send.
Oh.
It won't even let me type in there now in a little window.
Yeah. How rude, man.
Oh. I know, man. We need better chat than this.
Yeah.
This chat's crap.
Well, budget-wise, it's pretty good. It's top of the line budget-wise.
Oh, that's zero?
Yeah. So anyway, I got to thinking about this whole process, and I wanted to see, with one bit of force, all we're doing is moving energy to where we want it. Alright, we're going to move the energy from the energy of the weight of that water going down the river. We're going to, I don't got a river next to me, it's a creek. Anyway, I'm going to move the water, the energy from the water rolling down there, use that energy to turn a wheel, which in turn is going to pump some water, because it's going to be turning the pump, and it's going to pump the water up. But then I don't have to stop there, because I'm going to add a Venturi to it to get a better water pressure to go yet even farther yet. And so as I pump this up, I can actually guide it using this nifty invention called plumbing. You know, pipe tubing and fittings.
Nifty invention.
Yeah, pipe tubing and fittings. Pipe the stuff right out of your house. Remember the History of the World, Part 1?
It was. I don't remember anything related to that.
It might have been Part 2. History of the World, Part 1 and 2, they were basically spoofs of history. But the guy was standing out there in Rome, and he was saying, plumbing, pipe the stuff right out of your house. Oh, yeah. I about died laughing when I saw that. But, yeah, anyway, using all the mechanical knowledge that I've acquired throughout my period of my lifetime there, I was thinking, man, I want to see...
All blink of an eye?
Yeah, I want to see how far that I can actually take just the natural forces of what's coming down in my neighborhood as far as the creek goes.
Right.
I know when that creek is up going good, it's got a lot of water pressure, because it's actually... At some point, it actually helps clean the creek out.
Mm-hmm.
Moves everything all the way down, and then you got to go downstream and bust a dam so that the next time it'll flush it even further. And then at some point, it'll be like on your neighbor's property, and then it's theirs.
Then your neighbor's going to start yelling. Hey, get off my lawn!
You sent all your trash down the creek at my house. Anyway, so they got a couple different styles of water pumps out there. One is a hydraulic ram pressure, which basically builds up air pressure, and using check valves will only allow the water, when the water rams in there, it has a forward thrust going and it locks in on the other side on a check valve and can't go back the other direction. And so that constant pressure back and forth, they get water going pretty high with that thing. But I want to try to make the simplest version of a combination water pump slash generator that actually use that to when it, during rainy season, I could store some of that water in tanks that in turn, whenever we got sort of a drought going on, I could use that to keep the water pool in the pond. What do you think? That sound like a good idea? No? Yeah? No? No? Yeah. Cricket.
Yeah, I had my mic muted because I was coughing there.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying not to continue coughing over.
Well, you should have just come on there with, yeah, see, Jack.
Hey, I got a few if you need them.
See, I was faking coughing.
Save that baby for later.
Oh, man. Yeah, so anyway, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about, because moving water, if you can move water, then you got some hydraulic pressure that you could use that for something else. And so if you can get something to be able to pump water up 30 feet naturally, fill a tank up there, and then use that drop on the other side, come back, you know, as long as that creek is running, that whole process would keep going, wouldn't it? Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
So taking that in consideration, and then the fact that it's either going to be windy outside, or the creek's always going to be flowing, or you know, sun, I'm going to add in as many possible things to that system, like a solar panel that would charge up some batteries, that whenever the creek isn't running, that wheel will keep on running to keep pumping for at least a short period of time after the creek runs dry, kind of thing. Not dry, but you see what I'm saying. Anyway, to get the most maximum efficiency out of a bunch of recycled stuff, I basically took some cat food cans. I'm not even going to explain it. I'll just do the video. That way you can see it in the video. It's pretty
cool. Posted in the chat. That way only people who come to the chat get to see it.
Yeah, that's it. That's the way. You don't have to. You don't have to pay to see it, but you do have to come to the chat to see it.
As terrible as it's been so far, last thing you want is for everybody that's listening, if there's a whole bunch of people out there listening, to just suddenly jump on the chat and crash it.
Oh yeah, especially you said they're complaining about you wouldn't get a word in edgewise because you're having trouble with the chat being you know, great for the budget, but when you start piling a bunch of people in there, it starts slowing down. You'd really be hollering.
Yeah, I was gonna say Rickshaw that you found in the trash is great for the budget too, but it's not really good if you're gonna try to haul around 300-400 people.
Yeah, man, could you imagine that? Seriously, a 300 or 400 people Rickshaw? Boy, who's gonna drag that one?
They can get off and drag it themselves, man.
Yeah, we could recruit about 50 to 100 of them to get out and pull, and then you guys like it, swap, take turns, you know, getting back on. You rest.
That sounds like quite an ordeal. Might have to be some whips and chains and whatnot to harness them all up like a horse is pulling a cart.
Yeah, well, that would be some good mad science that could potentially make it into the Guinness Book of World Record. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm sure it could. Maybe, you know, get some attention.
That'd be there'd be some physics involved, because you'd have to have one heck of a long couple pieces of bamboo in order to be able to. Ain't that what they make the original rickshaws out of, bamboo?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so you'd have to have some pretty long pieces for two to...
PVC pipe.
Yeah, there you go. And we
can, I think those would have to be made out of something a little sturdier than that. They'd probably have to be Lexan or something.
Well, we could fill it up with rebar and expanding foam.
Jeez, you don't make it so it's going to require twice as many people to pull the thing that it can haul.
have a crane to get the nose off the ground, the tongue off the ground. And we got to give the passengers some complimentary whips like they use to, you know, mush. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, man. If you're going to have something that crazy, maybe it's time to make sure they got complimentary peanuts and those little tiny drinks in a bottle.
With the umbrellas? Yeah, we could do that, man.
Probably going to have some drop-down emergency oxygen masks, too.
Yeah, that's not a bad plan. Because, you know, there's things that could occur on that rickshaw that could require fresh oxygen.
Well, for aerodynamics, I guess we're going to put some fins on it, too. I mean, at this point, might as well just go ahead and build an airplane.
Yeah.
And then have people try to drag it around.
Put some hydraulics on it so that we could, like, do that thing like they do in the lowrider neighborhoods.
Oh, man. Now, see?
Yeah. You don't think that'd be good? Everybody would be jumping up and down.
Done went there.
Oh, man. See, you can have a lot of fun with mad science, man.
Then came to the wrong neighborhood, mother. Beep, beep, beep.
So, I don't know, but if there's somebody big enough and burly enough to carry a drag, I'd even just say even a 30 to a 60 passenger rickshaw. Like a 65 passenger bus or something like that, you know. If somebody can drag a rickshaw that is that big and will take that many passengers, you wouldn't want to mess with them anyway, so... You just let
me. Yeah, I can see it. The guy in the front, somebody says, "Hurry up!" And stops and turns around, and they're all like, you take your time.
Yeah, you need some water? You need something to drink? Have some peanuts?
Unless it's some little old granny, and she starts doing the pinching that action with her fingernail and thumb. He's like, "Oh, okay.
Yeah, why do grannies always get by with stuff, man?
I know. It's like, whatever you do, whatever you do, just don't grab me by the ear.
Yeah, leave that ear alone. All right, so anyway, is somebody asking what a rickshaw was? I don't know. A rickshaw, look it up, man. How do you spell that? Do you know how to spell rickshaw?
No,
They use them in China.
Never cared enough to even look to see what the spelling was, sorry.
Basically, it's your taxi driver who's carrying a reverse wheelbarrow with you in it.
Usually with like a little canopy or something over it.
Yeah, so you can get some shade while he's...
Well, I wouldn't say reverse wheelbarrow, because that implies that you've got a single wheel he's wiggling around. There's actually two wheels.
Oh, yeah, okay, there you go. Now we're getting technical.
Two wheels on each side instead of out on the end.
All right, so it's like a tricycle without the front part. The dude's carrying it.
Yeah, put the dude in the place of the third wheel.
Yeah.
And make him run.
So that is some online physics / engineering for you, folks. Just take that to the bank. If you want to build a rickshaw, give us a call. We'll show you how to do it. But we ain't dragging it for you unless you want to volunteer, Thomas.
No, I don't think so.
All right, so going to pump water up out of the creek using the water from the creek. So basically,
hey, I got one of these T-1000s I'm working on. We can let it drag it.
Yeah. That'd be all right.
It comes complete with machine guns and all lasers and everything.
Just wow. Now, why are you going to have to go putting machine guns and lasers on the rickshaw?
No, I ain't putting it on the rickshaw. I'm putting it on the T-1000.
Oh, I was going to say, because the guy who's pulling it, he's probably already going to be kind of wore out. And if he's got to make it the getaway rickshaw. Okay, 65 passenger rickshaw pulls up from the bank. Somebody gets out. They go in, they dressed in the Santa Claus suit, knock off the bank, come out, jump in the rickshaw, and take off.
Why'd you have to say that? They went in to make a withdrawal. With air quotes.
Yeah, withdraw.
we're here to make a withdraw.
Withdraw.
Here's my ID.
ID. I'm doing air quotes. Okay, so then he jumps into the 65 passenger Rickshaw, and they make their getaway. Meanwhile, here comes the cops in the brand new Dodge Charger, right? So, you see my point here? The guy pulling the Rickshaw is not going to be able to outrun that Dodge Charger. Challenger, whatever. Which ones are they?
Unless it has no gas.
Well, yeah, somebody in a Rickshaw could jump out real quick, run down to the local wall man's office and let the air out of his tires and siphon out the gas. So we got to plan this. If we're going to do this heist in a Rickshaw, we got to plan it, you know, ahead of time and better.
Just in case anybody's listening in that doesn't have a sense of humor, this is all a joke.
Yeah, we're not really going
to
try to...
Ain't no one really going to do this. If they are, they're, you know, we can't... If you're going to actually try this, we can't. You can't be our friend anymore. You're too stupid.
Yeah, that's for sure. Besides that, if your getaway car is a Rickshaw, you're in the wrong business already.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so... That's our humor part for today. Now we got to say something intelligent.
Sounds like a good comedy skit, though, for Monty Python.
Oh, that would be. Shoot, man.
They'd have to get out there and the getaway cars, the Rickshaw, and the police show up and call another Rickshaw and point and have chase around.
Yeah, and they got a skinny, tall dude for the first Rickshaw. He's in the getaway. And they got a overweight, heavy dude pulling the second, the police Rickshaw.
Oh, no. You put the same people pulling the same type of people pulling the Rickshaws, but the one in the Rickshaw, the cop that gets in the Rickshaw, has got the big portly dude that still got a donut in his hand.
Yeah, there you go. And the getaway Rickshaw, he's a smoker, so he's like struggling a bit. Hey, we should do that and YouTube it, man. That would be funny.
Well, all right. You want to do it? You get some props and whatnot up together, and we get all together. We'll go ahead and do it and put it on your YouTube channel.
Yeah,
and put it on mine.
That sounds good. Well, we could call it the Redneck Rickshaw Getaway. But like I said, like Thomas said, our disclaimer is don't try this at home, folks. It's a joke. It's only a joke.
That's for the CIA, FBI, alphabet soup groups that might not have a sense of humor, you know.
Hey, they might have a sense of humor. They might pull up to haul you off in jail in a rickshaw.
Yeah.
So, like, if my door gets kicked in and there's a couple rickshaws out front, I'll know what's going on.
Oh, yeah. You'll know exactly why they showed up.
Yeah, they didn't think it was funny. So, oh, you think you want to be a joker, huh? Look, we can joke, too. Oh, man. All right, we're back to science so we don't get jailed.
Man, put the handcuffs on you, one on each hand, and... may use two pairs of handcuffs so they can handcuff you to the Rickshaw and make you drag your own self to the station.
You know, like that, the Project Echelon, the conspiracy where they, like, well, it's not really conspiracy, they already admitted to doing it, but they are spying on people by catching certain keywords on cell phones and computers and stuff.
Yeah. Remember that? Well, it's a lot easier for text, too, because they don't have to do any conversion from ASCII.
Yeah. Well, basically what I was getting ready to say was, you know, like, you don't want to say bomb on there because you get their attention. Bomb! Like that, you know? Yeah, you don't want to say conservative, you'll get their attention. Conservative! You know, now we got the TSA. That's extra listeners now.
So if they're listening, then you'll end up getting their attention if you say Second Amendment or something?
Yeah. So
Second Amendment!
Yeah, no. But now they're gonna add Rickshaw to the list. So if you
Rickshaw,
yeah, we got what, three or four new listeners now. Probably some Interpol guys too, right? Those the overseas, right? Interpol.
And you reminded me of that little joke I threw out when they were talking about people with Tourette's.
Yeah,
I went Tourette's.
Well, so basically now they'll have it set up so that if you're talking about ricochets, you're a possible terrorist because of what our scenario, which is like we just said, we're don't try this at home. All right? It's ridiculous.
Don't think this is serious. It's not.
Come up with your own plan.
Yeah.
You're gonna do something stupid. Alright, so anyway. So we're gonna pump water up out of the creek. We're gonna use just the motion of the creek itself, so we're not losing, gaining, or taking away. We're just taking and using that energy force that's already readily available to get some work done. But in the process of getting that work done, if we can manage to pump it uphill, then we can also manage to store it uphill and then pump it back downhill and make a little water generator. What do you think?
I think I'm under the bus again.
Oh, cool. Is there any oil leaks down there?
You don't need to give me an opening. You know me. I'm rude enough. I'll make my own opening.
All right. So, hey, now...
and when I do it, I might even have the decency to yell, Kool-Aid!
In the future, since fuel's going to be hard to get and electricity's going to be hard to get if you don't know how to get it, then we'll be driving rickshaw. So instead of me throwing you under the bus, you won't be able to say that anymore. It'll be under the rickshaw.
Under the rickshaw.
Yeah.
Man.
So you can check the grease and the axle while you're down there.
What grease? What are you talking about? Some aloe vera gel.
Well, don't they got like bearings on a rickshaw?
I don't know, man. I thought the wheels were made out of out of bamboo with a bamboo shaft too. Some like Gilligan's Island engineering.
I want that car, the car that Professor made on Gilligan's Island, completely out of bamboo. That was cool. Oh man! So we'll have our own version, Gilligan's Island version cars. That would be cool. those are look to me like they might be a little bit flammable, so you wouldn't want to smoke inside of one of those.
Unless you want to go up and smoke.
Yeah, driving down the road and your car catches on fire and torches out.
That would be considered suicide, though, so maybe in the afterlife you'd end up with a desk job at the Department of Inhuman Services.
Yeah, could be like a desk job at McDonald's or something.
Well, I thought according to Beetlejuice, anybody who basically committed suicide ends up a social worker in the afterlife.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you end up with a crappy job.
Yeah, so don't commit suicide. We don't advocate suicide. We're knocking off Banks in a Santa Claus suit with your rickshaw getaway car. It was all a Monty Python spoof. We'll blame it all on.
I was gonna say, wasn't it like a beauty pageant winner or something like that? Yeah. She's like, if I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have had my little accident. And she shows her wrists.
Okay, so actually, we've been not paying attention there in the
chat room.
Yeah, Stephen.
The taking off.
Yeah, Stephen posted a couple good ideas in there. At least one good idea. He said you can split the water with a powerful electromagnet and use the positive side for drinking, and it would separate the iron if it's too high. So, using the forces that we already got to pump the water up the hill, and then some downward forces, gravity, if that's, is that a good term to use? We could actually use the fall of that water back down the other side to generate some current to either do some electrolysis or, whatever. It's unlimited. You got to keep in mind, we're just moving the energy where we want it and getting the work done in between. And so if you know you can pump it uphill, you can drop it back down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And using the Venturi effect, we could actually get a slight amplification to the pressure to pump it up the hill.
Mm.
So you already got one pump that has an impeller on it, and that starts the flow. So you'll have a garden hose style flow coming up out of that little pump, right?
Well, yeah, I thought you were going to say a garden hose sized catheter there.
I hope not. Lord. we might have to pause for commercial break on that one. Anyway, that's crazy.
We haven't quite made it to the hour mark. Should we take a music break at 9?
Maybe. But what am I? I don't know. We'll think about it. Depends on where we're standing. I threw something in the barrel there just in case. Okay, so basically I want to take not just one force, but many forces from the same force. Because, you know, the creek's wide. You don't have to just put one water wheel in there. You could put a ram pump beside it and a Venturi beside that. And so... You see where I'm going with?
Yeah, you can do enough to make all the tadpoles and minnows really mad at you for disturbing their environment.
Well, just think about a crawdad getting sucked up into the Venturi and then slung up into the air or something like that.
Some people would consider that a waste of good food, man.
Well, some people would consider it an amusement ride, and so the carotids might be in line down there. They got their little towels and everything.
Oh, you read the whole instruction manual for the sea monkeys, didn't you? Don't worry, they love it. It's like an amusement park ride as you pour the water back and forth from container to container.
The carotids, did you hear what I said? The carotids have their little towels and everything. <in line.
laughs> Waiting in line.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this line's getting longer and longer and longer.
Yeah, but the ride is so worth it. Man, last time I think I hit a tree. Oh, yeah. So anyway, yeah, folks, we're not smoking nothing. We're just...
high on life.
Yeah, high on life. And physics and science. Anyway, want to try to get as much work possible. If I can do this on one little water wheel, and that force that's coming down there, my little water wheel isn't even going to affect the strength of that water. So I could put as many of those water wheels as I wanted in the creek. If I want to sit around and manufacture them, I could put them all the way up and down the pool, you know, run. Now, so you could actually imagine if you could do this, if you live near a stream that's full time, you could do it in a manner that wouldn't clutter up your creek or your river, whatever. But you could get a massive amount of usable work out of just the water flow alone. You see where I'm going here?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So using just natural forces, taking that natural forces and using everything that you know about physics to basically improve on and amplify it, the Venturi. Like I was trying to say before we went off into something, I don't know where.
You don't know what that was.
Yeah. That pump that basically is a drill powered pump that pumps about 3 gallons per minute. And so we have basically equivalents out to over 100 gallons an hour. When you're pumping that, if you're not trying to pump it uphill yet, you're just pumping it out right out the end and then throw a Venturi in the mix there. Now, you could aerate that water as you send it out the other side, or you could use that Venturi to basically pump water out of the same creek. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're gonna keep the water flow that's going this way. You already got that. It's already in a tube. The Venturi is going to bring yet even more water in from the opposite direction. That's what a Venturi does. It creates a vacuum by the pressure going through the other side. Now, there's a bunch of high-tech terminology that explains it different than what I'm saying, but if you can visualize a Y pipe, and you're shooting water through one of the pieces of the Y, as it's going through there, it creates a vacuum, a back pressure that will suck either air or water out the other deal. They actually sell these pumps that you hook to your garden hose for draining your pool. It's called a V-pump, short for Venturi, of course. But that is actual name on the pump. It's a V pump. You hook it to your garden hose, and it has another section for the one to put down in your pool, and the other one to put out in wherever you're going to pump the water to. And they advertise these for pumping like floods or whatever. Keep in mind, your water bill is going to be up because you're going to be pumping it from your garden hose. You use the pressure from your garden hose to pump the other side. But they said these things will actually pump small sand and sludge out the other end. What do you think of that?
I think you need to build yourself a nice little trap of some sort and pump that water that you're pumping to the pond from the creek and make sure that trap will catch it, all the really, really heavy stuff. Maybe you'll end up with a little bit of gold dust left over.
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
There you go.
So if you can make a few bucks while you're pumping the water out of the creek anyway.
Can you smell the smoke?
Smell the smoke? Why? Is something on fire?
Well, you know, the gears turning and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, the little light bulb coming on.
Me thinking again.
That had me worried again. I had to get the cobwebs off the gears so I could get my brain going after you said that. I was like, can you smell the smoke?
So we got smoke from both ends, huh?
Yeah. When there's smoke, there's fire, and we can use that fire to boil the water. So that's basically what we're trying to do here. Trying to get people to actually think past the actual, just the pumping of the water alone. Because if you got access to be able to pump water 30 feet up the hill anyway, and you're not paying for the energy to do it, because the whole key about all this is no input electricity to start with.
Right.
And so if you can do this with no electricity to start with, you can pump water up the hill for, you know, drinking purposes or watering your garden purposes or whatever, then you might as well use that downforce as nature tries to pull the water back down to its level to, you know, get some more work done, charge some batteries up. So I could actually visualize a zigzag motion where, you know, different portions of the creek pumping it up into a container. The container is larger than, you know, needed to store a whole lot of water. It's the same as that capacitor effect that I talked about a lot. You know, you have a big old large capacitor down into a smaller capacitor and so on down the line to your smallest load. You could be pumping enough energy up the hill. And keep in mind, once the energy is up the hill, which is the water itself, that water is energy. You've got, if you want to crack it, now you got hydrogen and oxygen as well. But if you want to take that water pressure and dump it back down the hill, back down into the same creek you took it out of, you could actually get to the point where some of that water would be coming back up, you know, a couple times. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try it on a small scale. If it works on a small scale, I'm going to make a couple projects that you know, can be replicated really simple to pump water up the hill and just see where I can go with it. At the very least, I'll supplement the flow for the water filling in my pond.
Mm-hmm.
But might as well get some mad science done in the process. What do you think? So I'll get a video out of that, and I'll get it out here on there, and then I'll post that link in there. I was going to post some videos in here of some different styles of pumps, but if you go out there on YouTube and you search for no electricity water pumps, then you'll come across a bunch of them. And some of these guys are pretty doggone ingenuity. You know, that river water pump, that was pretty impressive, because essentially you got the cable, it's staked down on one side, and it's just like kind of floating downstream, hanging on that wire, like a water skiing guy behind a boat, and it's turning a propeller, which is turning the basically the Archimedes screw, which is pumping water back up the other direction. You know, so you can do whatever you want with the water from that point. But the key is, it's just using a natural force and a little bit of physics to actually get work done to pump water back upstream and on top of the shore. That's pretty cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take that same concept and then you in the process use some other ones in line with it, like they got the, you know, Archimedes screw, basically the river water pump, 2-in-1. And then the next one in line would be a, as that water's being forced through that, Venturi that brings up yet even more water. And then the one after that could be one of the spiral water wheels. You could keep on bringing that pressure up the higher you went up the stream there. It don't have to be, what I'm saying is basically you got multiple different methods of moving the same amount of energy at the same time. So, I think that, I was trying this down in my creek the other day, seeing how far just with the Venturi effect, how far I could actually pump water up inside of a tube. I had a big old, probably about 3-inch to 4-inch piece of pipe with a Y in it, and had it sitting down inside the stream, and you could actually see the water level being different from the stream going through the pipe as opposed to the water that was actually trying to escape up the Y.
Right.
Yeah, and then by using reducers and check valves and stuff like that, you can actually cause that pressure to go up yet even higher. That's how some of those RAM pumps work.
Right.
So, pumping the water up the hill, using the water as it goes back down the hill to turn the turbine, to run charge some batteries, and there's nothing stopping you from actually using some of that energy as it's coming up the hill if you got enough water pressure to, catch some energy on the way by. Because all you're doing, like I said, once again, all we ever do when we use energy is we get work done as the energy's coming by. You throw nature off balance, and as nature levels itself back out, then you get work done. When the wind's blowing through, the windmill gets work done.
Mm-hmm.
If you can understand that, then you can understand how simple it is to get free energy. And if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. So I'm going to prove that with one little basic concept to get this water wheel to... I was initially going to try to put a solar-powered water pump down there, which is still not beyond the realms of possibility, but I'm going to start off with mechanical. If I can do this all mechanically to get the work done that I want done, I can also add an extra coupler on there to basically whenever the... river slows down, the water goes down, and it's no longer turning the wheel by the water pressure, the solar power could kick in and turn it electrically. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the plan. And from that point on, we don't even need to tell everybody about how much power you could get from hydrogen or steam. There's other methods that we could use to literally create a vacuum. And since water will boil in a vacuum faster than it will in the atmosphere, there's also methods there where you could actually heat the water before it went up the hill. You think that's plausible?
Sounds like it.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Venturi is a vacuum. It creates a vacuum. And so... it's able to pump water. It's pretty amazing. If you go out there, check out the V pump. Google up Venturi water pumps. They use Venturis in a lot of different machineries for like air and fuel mixtures. There's multiple uses for it. Actually, I'm pretty fascinated with the Venturi valves. They're pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And if you understand hydraulic pressure, then you know that once you force the pressure through this way, if there's a check valve in there and it can't come back the other way, that hydraulic pressure is going to keep building up. It's got to go somewhere. That the energy has to go somewhere, always. Doesn't matter whether it's electricity, water, air, or whatever. It has to go somewhere. And knowing that the energy is always going to take the least path of resistance.
Right.
To balance itself back out. And if you want to pressurize something, you got a certain amount of pressure already, and then you put a reducer on there, then with water, you'll raise the water pressure up. With electricity, you'll raise the voltage up. Where you lose the current by raising the voltage, you still have the same amount of energy. You just basically slowed it down on this side, pressurized it, and sent it out the other side. That should be pretty simple to understand. What do you think? You got?
What to see?
Well, I'm just saying, if you could understand plumbing, then you could understand the way that electricity works, and just about every force out there, even air pressure. You know, if you take a big old funnel and you put the mass of air into that funnel, and then it gets smaller and smaller coming out the other side, you basically create pressure out the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a good little experiment for somebody to hook a doggone funnel up to a balloon and hold it out in the wind and see if they can blow that balloon up with just the wind pressure outside.
Right.
Yeah. That'd be a fun experiment for the kids. Supposed to
for the whole family.
Yeah.
Learn to throw your voice. Be the life of the party.
And if you got a valve on that, once you get the wind pressure that you wanted inside that balloon, the balloon blows up, you can shut the valve off, shut the wind flow in, and then you have basically storage of air pressure inside that balloon. That's mm-hmm. the equivalence of what I'm talking about. So you can even store air pressure. You can store water pressure. You can store electrical pressure. There's so many different ways for storage. So using everything that nature has to offer and a little bit of mechanical knowledge and some basic science, there you go right there. Worst case scenario, if you live near a river or creek like that, then you've got constant motion coming down that river. You can use gear ratios to speed that whatever pressure you got. That's one amazing thing about water. Water has a lot of pressure behind it, because what's a gallon of water weigh? About 8 pounds, somewhere around about.
Right.
So that's an 8 pound weight floating downstream at you, and 8 pounds of pressure could do a lot of work. If it's a constant 8 to 8 pounds of pressure, you can get a lot of work done. And the faster that's going, then now you start getting into some physics where, you know, kind of like the faster something goes, the heavier the mass or whatever the force on the other side becomes.
Right.
Two cars flying down the road towards each other at 55 miles an hour. How fast does that crash?
Just get out of the way.
Yeah, well, if they end up hitting each other, it's like double the force. 55 this direction, 55 that direction, is like 110 mile an hour crash in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
If you could store the power of the energy from all the different people crashing their cars, their jalopies, or their rickshaws. I wonder how many rickshaw crashes they have a year. Or if you have to have rickshaw insurance. If I got to have rickshaw insurance, I don't know if I want to go that route.
Yeah.
This is going to be made out of bamboo anyway. You could just go down and build you another one.
Man, you the one that opened up the gate. You can complain about the flow. The flood coming now?
Well, alright. I'll go with it. I'll buy my rickshaw insurance. You got next thing you know, you're going to have a dang license plate on your rickshaw. Or advertisements on the side for Joe's Chiropractic Service. Or Billy Bob's Vitamins. What kind of fuel are you using today? Oh, coffee. Here, try some of this. No, that's just too
funny. Cut that out, man.
All right. So it's top of the hour. Maybe we should take a music break.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to play a little bit of Tub Thumping first until I find something else. You know that song, I get knocked down, but I get up again. Ain't nothing gonna slow me down.
Copyright infringement is gonna get me down again.
Yeah. Man, tell them to copyright the Rickshaw movie and leave us alone. Alright, everybody listen to Mad Science. We'll be back shortly. Peace and love. Stay tuned.
Get knocked down, but I get up again. Good air is gonna beat me down. I get knocked down. and bone water here. I'm serious about getting government spending under my control. Under my proposed job plan, I intend on legalizing everything so there's nothing I can be prosecuted for. Why, I'm Congressman Bonewater, and I care about your safety and my wallet. Why, I care so much about your safety as president, I'm going to be at the airport groping every hot babe to ensure her safety as she gets on the airplane and such. So vote for Congressman Bonewater, and you won't have nothing to fear but fear itself. Don't ask for what Congressman Bonewater can do for you. Ask what you can do for Congressman Bonewater, President of these United States, 2012. Why, I'm going to tax the hell out the rich and legalize marijuana so that y'all can have some free marijuana just for voting for Congressman Bonewater. Just show up at the voting poll, and that's all you got to do. I don't give a rat's ass about the rule of law. Vote as many times as you like. Multiple times if need be, just to get Congressman Bonewater elected. And furthermore, you don't want to vote for that other guy because he wants to steal the old folks' wooden legs and false teeth and kick their walkers out from underneath them. Now, you'd never see Congressman Bonewater doing something such as that unless there was some money involved. Well, and the other guy, why, he's going to steal your Social Security. He's been mean to kittens and stuff. And I believe I heard he smacked a baby. Well, this is Congressman Bonewater. Vote for me for President of the United States on 2012, and I'll get the government spending under my control. That's right, it's Congressman Bonewater here. Elect me and I'll screw you on taxes. Hello, America. This is Congressman Bonewater here. I will say whatever it takes to get elected. I will take bribes, and not only that, I will allow dead folks to vote for me, because I'm Congressman Bonewater, and I'm running as for President of these United States. Let it be known, America, that I, Congressman Bonewater, couldn't give a rat's ass about the rule of law. I intend on cutting every corner that I can possibly cut in order to fatten my wallet. Why, just the other day I caught my illegal alien maid sweeping dirt under the rug. I gave her a raise. I like the way she thinks. So, this is Congressman Bonewater, and I want your vote for the United States President, 2012. I don't give a crap about your freedom, but I'll tell you I do as long as you cast your vote for me. And as far as taxes, well, you know, I got to raise taxes because I've only got 15 credit cards paid for by the taxpayers, and they're all maxed out. And the other day when I was at the Lobster Shack, I got a door ding in my Mercedes. Of course, you know, that kind of ruined my meal there, so I'm going to need donations from each and every one of you tax-paying citizens out there so that I can get the door ding fixed in my Mercedes and go back and have a good meal. Anyway, this is Congressman Bonewater, and I'm running for United States presidency. So, elect me, and I'll tell you like it is. I don't give a crap about you. I just want that taxpayer money to fit my wallet. So here we go. 2012. Remember, Congressman Bongwater, I'm there for you.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html at shazizradio.com. Just go to www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html. So, what was that ruckus? Anyway, Stephen Gibbons posted a really good link to the Venturi effect, and this is something I didn't even know what the guy's actual name was that actually invented the Venturi effect. But the Venturi effect is named after, let me see if I can pronounce this right, Giovanni Battista Venturi, 1746 to 1822, an Italian physicist. That's pretty cool, man. They knew about this effect back in 1746 to 1822, somewhere around
there. Does that sound
right? I don't know. Well, either way, that's what the Wikipedia article says about it.
Wikipedia?
Yeah, Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
But anyway, that's... Man, think about all the power that they had back in the day. When they knew about the Venturi effect, they knew about the plasma reactor... They knew about the steam generators, different batteries that they used back in the day, all kinds of technology. See, if I was going to have my preference of times that I would have liked to have been at, I would have loved to have been around about Tesla's and Edison's time, whenever, you know, everything was new and there was new exciting discoveries and people were sharing ideas with one another. It would have been amazing. You know, be able to just, like, go invent something. And, you know, price-wise, I guess if you went back in the day, a dollar probably went a lot farther than it does today. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot harder to get a dollar back in the day than I would think. So $1 million back in the day could be maybe the equivalence of $1,000, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, vice versa, but either way. It would have been amazing to walk up into Edison's or Tesla's lab or Marconi or some of the guys from the, you know, the history books and see what it is they were working on. And it would be really awesome to come back, go back now with the knowledge you have today, you know, and just kind of listen in and nudge them a bit. You know, you could use this for that too, you know. That would be pretty cool. But anyway, the Venturi...
Trying to interfere, man.
Yeah, you can't do that. That's like the prime directive, man, right? Star Trek, you can't go back and interfere with the...
Thomas Wolfe said you can't go home.
Why?
Stop trying.
Doggone it. Anyway, so I think that... this next little experiment, if you look past what it is that I'm trying to show you, you'll like it, because every time I show an anomaly on my YouTube channel, it's only because there's something that's interesting in that anomaly that is worthy of taking a look at. You know, when you can take and get high voltages out of something as small as a 1.5 volt battery, but you can get a lot of high voltage out of that thing right there. And then note that that energy and the frequency that comes off of that energy is enough to energize gas into the plasma state, then there's two anomalies right there that you really ought to be paying attention to. Because if you're really into alternative energy, clean, renewable energy, then you need to understand how energy actually functions. Energy travels in waves, you know. It's everything out there, the wind, you know. Some force creates a big gust of air, you know, an air pocket or wave or whatever, and sends that wave out. Well, that wave will go as far as it can possibly go unless there's another wave behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing that you could take cold air and you can mix it with hot air and get a second anomaly, which is, you know, because hot air rises and cold air falls, if there's a hot air pocket on the bottom and the cold air on the top, when those two are trying to pass through each other to get to where they would normally want to go, then you get a little rotation. That's how a cyclone or a tornado is worked up, you know. And so with that said, that's another force. That's another anomaly to pay attention to. The same concept could be applied, you know, by putting cold water on the top and hot water at the bottom. When the two try to settle each other down, you know, they're already trying to do an energy transfer where the heat is being slowed down by the cold water mixing with it. It's trying to balance itself back out to get water to its natural state. Whatever that natural state would have been, that's where it wants to go. So if you know that, and you know that by using some of these anomalies in conjunction with each other, now you got machinery that you can get work done. That's what my point was. Some of these vacuum sweepers use the Venturi effect that they got. There's what's the word I'm looking for? The turbines that they put inside there. There's another word. Can't remember what it is. The little spinny thing inside there, man. Think. All right. It's not a turbine. It's called something else. Doggone it. I hate it when that happens. All right. Now I got to Google vacuum cleaners. Vacuum cleaner parts. We're going to Google it because I'm trying to find the specific word that I was looking for to explain how vacuum sweepers create vortexes. Impellers is one word. Let's see, I haven't even Googled it yet. Let's see. I'm getting ready to Google, so that's why I'm talking and typing at the same time. Vacuum. Got to spell that right. Vacuum cleaner. Ta-da! Okay.
Ta-da!
Yeah, now they got some really cool technology in vacuum sweepers, and it's worth bringing up because you're taking an electric motor and you're creating a vortex inside the vacuum and creating the vacuum itself and being able to draw things up off of the carpet and basically do that. Now, parts. I need vacuum parts. Parts. Can't believe I can't remember that doggone. Vacuum cleaner parts. Can't remember it. I'm probably still not going to be able to find it. There's a technical term for that little impeller that's inside there that I was trying to get to. Images. Maybe if I try to use an image to. Man, they use these things in turbos and everything. Hate it when I can't remember.
Whose fault is that, man?
We could get into the technical portion of it, but... I can't believe that you can't remember that. There's a terminology for that part. Doggone it. Hate it when that happens. Anyway, the turbines that they got inside there, the way that they're designed to get the maximum efficiency of airflow going through there, when you're pumping air into basically they're creating a Venturi effect inside of the vacuum sweeper, which is creating the vacuum that is actually sucking the dirt off the floor. That one anomaly in itself may not seem that impressive. You got a stronger fan. I mean, it's blowing the air pretty good. But to then, in turn, be able to take that and build something like a, they got these Craftsman handheld leaf mulchers. Well, basically, inside the deal where the Venturi is, where the rotor is, they actually made that rotor like blades so that whenever you're blowing the air out the tube, there's creating a suction on the other which sucks the leaves up and then chops them all up into really tiny pieces and then shoves them into a bag. Have you seen one of those?
Mm-hmm.
They look like a big leaf blower, but they're actually set up to mulch leaves.
Hmm.
Yeah, so you can either use it to blow the leaves off your lawn, or you can actually use it to mulch the leaves as they're being sucked up off the ground and chops them all up and then throws them in a bag, and then you can use that for compost for your garden.
Hmm.
Yeah, pretty cool, man. Just Google up leaf mulchers. Because I still can't figure out what the heck the doggone name was that I was looking for the that impeller that's inside the vacuum. That may very well be, but there's some terminology that goes along with it that I just can't for the life of me figure out. Anyway, so when I'm showing on my YouTube channel, I'm showing all these anomalies. The reason why I'm showing all these anomalies is because each one of these anomalies are basically gears in the puzzle that if you put all these gears together, you're going to get the best results and be able to build machinery that is super efficient. You know, we talked about, and Raymond was working on a system where he could see how much efficiency he could literally get out of an internal combustion engine, because we know that an internal combustion engine has a lot of wasted energy, wasted heat. Ah! Hate that. Somebody trying to call me.
Who is it?
I don't know.
Is it somebody supposed to be on the show?
Nope. Somebody trying to remind me of the auction that we're going to today.
Okay.
Yeah, live on area. Hey, that's the ringtone. That was the song that we played earlier. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, anyway, taking all these little anomalies that I show out there on my YouTube channel, which by themselves, I get these troll guys, the little nappy-headed trolls that come rolling around, and they start hollering about, oh, well, that's not free energy. Yeah, you're putting in more energy than you're getting out and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, ugh, man, I wish somebody could think past things and really start to turn that little gear in their brain and start to work, because these little anomalies are like the Venturi. A Venturi by itself, what is it, you know? But take that effect and throw it inside of a hot rod. Now you have a high performance machine that is putting air and fuel mixture into that hot rod at a rapid rate to be able to run that car down the track really fast. That's the point. You see what I'm saying? Trying to point out that, you know, by themselves is not really that big of a deal, but if you know how to use that effect, then you can use it for doing all kinds of stuff. Pumping water, aerating a pond, mixing air and fuel together, basically boosting up the pressure, getting your water flow going better. So one of these anomalies by themselves, whereas might not seem like that big of a deal, but knowing how these things work and basic science and basic mechanics, and you could actually build things that are incredible. Did you just throw somebody else up in there?
Yeah, Raymond was trying to call. I was trying to get him in there, but
I'm here.
Oh, good. Yeah, they moved something on Skype again since this last update, and I couldn't figure out how to get it to work.
Who's Kinroche?
It was a mistake. Just ignore it. I'm going to try to figure out how to kick him back out of here in a second.
I've got Scott Brown here with me in my office.
Oh, cool. So anyway, what we were talking about today, is had a little bit of fun with it, though. Is basically water power. I built me a water wheel. Gonna use it to use the nature's already provided, which is the water flow down the deal, to move that water where I want it to go. I'm going to put it uphill. All right? But in the process, talk about other anomalies of taking like the Venturi effect and adding a little bit of extra pressure to it using that. Because, see, all this stuff that I'm talking about, the one water wheel by itself may not do the whole entire job. So if I throw a Venturi off to the side of that thing and I force that same water pressure down into the same tube, then I can extend the range of where I can actually go with that. So, this is my point. You know, I got a video series that I put out there called Free Thinkers, and that thing has been for at least 8 months now, 7-8 months now running, and I need to do an update video to it. But essentially, that was the same exact point that I was putting out with what I'm trying to say here today is that all these forces of nature, everything from static electricity to galvanic action to solar power to wind power, all of these energies coming in. All right, what happened? Did we lose something?
I don't know, man. I clicked on something or did something while I was trying to get things sorted to get rid of the other caller that, you know, is not even going to be interested in being in here. And, dang if it didn't, there we go. I think I got it figured out now, if he can answer the call.
Stephen Gibbons, he's in there talking about how an impeller sucks and a compressor propeller, propeller blows or expands. But there was a terminology for that one specific part in there that's actually occurring that I just can't for the life of me remember. I have to find me a vacuum sweeper guy. Anyway, don't ever, if your mom likes her vacuum sweeper, don't ever tell your mother that her vacuum sweeper sucks, because she'll get irate. I know I did that when I was a kid. I said, Mom, this vacuum sweeper sucks. And she said, boy, that's a good vacuum sweeper. I had that vacuum sweeper for years. It works just fine. And I'm like, Mom, it's a vacuum sweeper. It's supposed to suck. Otherwise, it's broke. She didn't find it humorous. So did you get Raymond back in there, or did we lose him?
It's saying that he's connected, that he's in here, but he's not connecting.
Huh. All right. Well, maybe you just have to try to call again.
Yeah.
Let me see what's occurring here.
It says not on this call. Let me make sure that it's using Skype, too, to try to call him. Nope. Won't add him.
All right. Let me try it. Hold on. Let me see. There's a recent one on there. Recent one. Well, because if I try to call that one back, it's going to get that other one in
there. And they can't fix Skype to where it works and then just leave it alone. They got to keep monkeying around with it.
Let me just see if I can add Raymond into this one.
Alright. Well, give it a shot.
Bad people.
He might still be stuck in the other room that we just closed because there was somebody in there who wasn't supposed to be in there.
Yeah. He's probably all confused.
I didn't mean to close it, though. I was just trying to get to something that would open all the profiles, and it just, whatever that little thing was, it just basically turned out to be the leave conversation icon rather than, you know, it actually having a little flyout or anything. Tell me what the heck it was.
Alright, now I see his picture pop up there.
Oh no, it's doing that nasty mess where it's basically trying to open up another window.
Alright, hold on. I'm going to hang up on you and I'm going to call you both back. Oh, this is exciting log. Alright, here we go. Yes. That's mad science for you. Okay, so who do we got?
Well, it looks like it's still trying to connect to him, but at least it's trying. You there?
Yeah, we're here. No.
Awesome, okay.
Alright, Shaziz man to the rescue, bro. You see how I did that?
No. Just show me again.
We'll have to hang up and call you back.
Just my microphone, so that you don't feel my air conditioning.
You sound much better now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, but you don't hear that background crap no more.
No, but you do sound like you're kind of in the closet. Come closer to the mic. Scoot your chair forward.
How's that?
Yeah.
Any better?
Yeah, it's great. Okay. All right, so I don't know how much of what you got on the deal anyway, but we were talking about water power, we were talking about the Venturi effect, and there's multiple different styles of pumps out there, like ram pumps and the coiled up pumps, the Archimedes screw style river pump, and all that kind of deal. But my point in all this deal was to talk about how I'm going to take a force that's always going, like, I'm trying to fill my new pond up with water, right? And there's thousands of gallons of water going down the creek, whereas I'm not getting the runoff from, you know, unless I get a really good heavy rain, I don't get as much runoff. So I need some of that water up in the deal. So that sparked off the deal. I already built a water wheel, and I'm going to use that water wheel to turn a pump. But at the same point, I'm not just going to leave it at that. I'm going to add a Venturi to it and probably a ram style pump and all kinds of stuff. I'm going to keep building on this like I did on the Free Thinkers video. That gives
the diameter of your wheel?
Huh?
What's the diameter of your wheel?
I think it's about 26 inches.
If you build your water wheel about 4 feet in diameter, then you can get some flexible hose and wind it around it and turn it into a works pump.
Yeah, probably so, but right now I'm just using what I've got on hand off the store shelf kind of stuff. Making something really just small just to do. This thing will only pump about 3 gallons per minute, which is about 100 and some odd gallons per hour. But I don't need it to pump a lot. I just need it to pump some. And so I'm going to do multiple things with it, like put it in a storage tank before I actually dump it into the pond and so on and so forth, so that even after the pond is full and it's getting ready to go back over the overflow, now I can start grabbing some of that downward pressure and turning a little turbine downhill. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a multi-purpose little gizmo, kind of like the Freethinkers video, where it's a multi-purpose gizmo out there. It's grabbing air pressure, it's grabbing radio signals, it's grabbing static electricity, there's some negative ion generation going in there, there's wind power, solar power, and basic earth battery technology with some galvanic action going on. So I'm grabbing energy from all different directions, and that thing has been lit up for about 7 or 8 months or longer now. All right, and everything that I used on there was junk. It was all recycled. The batteries wouldn't hold a decent charge, couldn't start a car with it if you wanted to. But the fact of the matter is, it did the work that I wanted it to do all along, and it used that battery in a different method that it was ever going to be intended on using for when it was first designed. Such as a battery could be used as a capacitor. It has negative and positive plates in it, right?
Right.
So, where it may not accept a certain type of charge, it will definitely, without a doubt, accept a static charge.
Yes.
And you build that static charge up in a capacitor, now you have pressure, which you can get work done with. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, you creep me around.
Huh?
Is your creek year-round?
It's kind of off and on. It depends on how bad the weather, you know, gets. You know, because I've actually seen it go dry a few times. But I'm not worried about it going dry the few times. I'm just worried when the thing is flowing decent, I might as well take advantage of that that energy and either pump some water up the hill to where I can use it on the way down, and you know, then adding like the Free Thinkers video where you take the all the forces out there. I throw a solar panel, a little battery bank, and a bridge rectifier. I can actually
do you know what a works pump is? Have you ever seen one?
Maybe on YouTube or whatever.
An 8-foot diameter works pump can pump water 80 feet high.
Is that the
You can use the running of the water in the creek to actually turn the pump. Now, it not only pumps water 80 feet high, but it pumps just as much air at that pressure. And like I said, one PSI of air pressure will push water 2 feet. So that means that you've got 40 PSI of air pressure, and 80 feet high water, both at the same time coming out of the end of the quartz pump.
And you build up the pressure, you've got so many loops of the hole, of the hose.
Right.
And water being at 7 pounds, when each time it goes around, every time the water tries to raise up a foot, that's 2 pounds of pressure. But
right.
You got multiple turns, and you also got more, you probably got about 5 or 6 feet of raise possible for each loop that you put in there. So,
yeah.
Yeah, the pump that you guys are talking about, I understand what you're talking about, but there's different names of it out there. Like, for example, the river pump uses the Archimedes screw effect, which is the same thing of what you're talking about. Yours will be like a big giant water wheel with the hose wound up on the side, and at some part it's picking up water, and other parts it's picking up air, so you get that air pressure and water mixture in between there as it's spiraling around. Yeah.
That spiral is smaller and smaller and smaller, which compresses the air.
Yeah.
And you have a scoop on the open end that takes in the water. The scoop is measured to where it only scoops up half as much water as the inner circle of hose will hold.
Yeah.
Because if it passes that, then it backs up on you.
So I'm actually going to be building one of those too. I designed a long time ago something similar to that, but what it did was it had one end of that tube was blocked off, and the other end of it, it picks up the water, but then at a certain point when that water gets around, there's a hole drilled in the tube that drains the water down into a gutter system that sends the water off, so you can actually stair-step water up using this process.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, basically, I want to take and use a force, not just one time. I want to use it multiple times, using the same exact force, which is, you know, like the creek's at least 4 feet wide. I mean, I could put as many of these as I wanted in there up and down that creek if I wanted to.
Right.
But I want to use the same force to, you know, do a mechanical turn, a venturi pump, you know, maybe what was the one we mentioned earlier, doggone it, where it basically uses air pressure, ram pump.
Yeah, ram pump.
Yeah. So when the water comes down, it shoots in sort of like a funnel thing, it goes through a check valve, and that sudden surge of pressure in there opens the check valve and lets the water through, and then when the water can't come back the other way, it locks the valve down, and the next surge of pressure pushes it up even farther, and it just kind of rocks back and forth.
Yeah, to get it to oscillate. Once it oscillates, it pumps forever.
Yeah. So, you know, this is why I say, if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. Now, you know, using basic mechanics and some little bit of physics, Stephen Gibbons posted a link in there to that Wikipedia article for the Venturi. And
what's your fall factor of water from where it starts onto your property to where it goes off your property? What's your fall factor?
You know, how much head?
Yeah, how much head pressure do you have?
Man, I don't know.
Next time I come, I'll bring one of my lasers and we'll set it up. How far is it? How many feet from where it enters your land to the exit?
I don't know what the actual drop is, but I do know I get some pretty good speed on the water as it's coming through, so it ought to be a pretty good incline or whatever the other word. The Venturi effect, 1746 to 1822, Italian physicist Giovanni Battista Venturi. He's the one that comes up with the idea.
You got plenty of wood you can use on that land?
Yeah.
Well, you need to set up a sawmill.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, why don't you all take a vacation, come down here, and we'll build some stuff, man. Have some fun.
Heck yeah.
I got another idea too on that pump that Muddy and Raymond are pushing there on you.
Yeah.
What if you could put some check valves periodically throughout that system so that the pressure can't push that water back out the other end whenever it rotates back around, because you got that air pressure that's built up in there. So it's going to try to push try to put force on that water, not let it run back up in there.
That's a pretty good idea.
Just completely and totally control that water so it's only going one direction. Put a Tesla fluid diode in there.
because the good thing about those check valves is it's not gonna affect the pressure outside of not allowing the water to go back the other direction.
Mm-hmm. What's the shortest section of hose that you can get that's got threads on both ends, so you can, you know, just screw them all together?
Do what now?
The shortest length of hose that you get threads on, you know, the little brass caps on the ends that thread into each other.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Male and female. They're about an inch and a quarter long, so that'd be about two and a half inches would be the shortest piece of hose you get to put the fittings in.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. What's the shortest length? Can you get like 4 foot lengths, 8 foot lengths, 16 foot lengths?
Oh yeah.
Oh, you mean from the store with both ends on them?
Right. That way you can gauge how big in diameter the wheel, the turn that this hose is going to go around, so you can have one of these on each rotation. Stick another.
I just get one of them cheap 25 foot hoses for $8.
Well, what I'm thinking is make a Tesla diode that has a male and female connector on each end with the 3D printer, and just screw them in between the sections of hose. So there's literally like a row of those somewhere along the circumference of that disc that you're going to be wrapping that hose around. There's one right next to each other, so they're kicking in at the exact same time all the way around, not allowing the water to go back the other direction, but giving it free flow to go the direction you're trying to force it.
It's easily adjustable. If you ain't got enough pressure, you go ahead and you add another loop of hose.
Yeah,
if the wheel doesn't turn, then you're just not going to make you're just not going to be able to pump it up that high.
All right. I want to throw a shout out for Jermaine Fishwick out there. Hey, Jermaine, if you're got an opportunity, throw a link to your YouTube channel in the chat room over there. Appreciate that. If you guys haven't checked out Jermaine's YouTube channel, check it out. He's working on some pretty cool little things there. And I think it was the solenoid motor that got my attention. But he's an upcoming little research there, man. He's still going to school and stuff, and does some really cool stuff, man. So if you guys can support him, go check out his YouTube channel. If you got your YouTube channel, Jermaine, throw it up there in the chat room so everybody can check it out. But there's a lot of researchers out there that are doing things that really seriously need to be taken a look at. He said, what is the difference between a helix cone and a pancake primary coil? That's the way you're guiding that pressure, man. That's basically all there is to it. Everything from wind pressure to air pressure to electrical pressure, all these fancy shapes and coils and stuff like that is just basically a guidance system. That's all you're doing, and you're just guiding the energy where you want it to go. Is that a pretty simple explanation there, guys?
Yep.
Yeah.
So with an impeller or a propeller, you know, one pushes and one, you know, sucks.
The propeller would be a high-speed rotational. Your corkscrew is kind of like a ladder. It just lifts it up. Keeps on going. The one on the water wheel.
So by designing that pancake coil on a Tesla coil, you know, or the cone shaped one, you're actually just kind of guiding that field and strengthening it or pressurizing it. That's all you're doing. The field's still going to be the same amount of power that you put on your input, but you can guide it. You know, with materials such as bismuth, you can actually, to some extent, be able to guide that magnetic field where you want it to go. And even in the laminated cores of transformers, that's essentially taking that magnetic flux and sending it to where you want it. Because if you ever took two coils and you put them side by side with each other and try to pulse these one of the coils to get energy off the other side, those lines of flux have to be able to cross a certain direction through that wire in order for you to get a, to get the inductions on the other side. And so if you study the coils, you can actually find out which side, how am I trying to explain this? when the magnets come and fly and pass that thing, that magnetic flux line's hitting a certain part of the coil. And it's actually creating the electron flow that we call electricity. He's having problems trying to post one of his videos. Can somebody help him out that with maybe a tiny URL link or something like that? Mm-hmm. Sometimes YouTube does that. Won't allow, when you copy it, if you don't copy it right, it won't post it in the video. Anyway, so basically all you're doing when you make those...
Is he on Skype?
No, well, yeah, he's on Skype. I can add him to the call.
Copy link location, post as plain text, then paste as plain text, and then send it in.
Let me see if I can throw him into the call, because you guys got to meet this kid. He's a good guy. I think you talked to him, didn't you, Thomas?
Maybe.
Let me see if I can find him. We're live on air. Mm-hmm. Somebody talk. Crickets. Jermaine, I'm going to try to throw you in this chat if I can find you.
Mm-hmm.
There he is. That's it. That. Select. Jermaine. And. Okay. May now, if he picks up, he'll be live. All right. I added him to the call. I don't know if he's in there yet. I didn't see him come in. Jermaine, are you there? Nope. Maybe somebody else have to add him. Alright, well, anyway, I hear something.
Yeah, I'm typing in there, talking to him about the protocols.
Oh, okay. Anyway, you can actually find out which direction your coils or your magnets have to actually be turning in order to have those lines of flux cross that copper wire. Hey, is that you, Jermaine?
Yeah. I'm going to try to throw you in this chat if I can find you.
Cool. Well, might want to turn your radio portion down. Or something. We got an echo.
Okay. May now be picked up.
We're hearing a repeat of what we did before. You got your radio on?
Let's see. Come in.
Yes.
Can you pause the radio portion?
Hey, are you there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
There you go. I mean, I like to hear the show, but I hate hearing myself repeat myself. So, anyway, you did the solenoid engine, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first video that got my attention. He actually built, what is it? I know you did a one-cylinder and a two-cylinder, right?
Yeah.
You guys got to check out these videos, what he did on there. And what I like the most about these solenoid motors is the fact that he made them out of recycled parts. And
that's,
if these things were built precision, they'd have an amazing amount of torque to them. I mean, just with what he's got there, they had an impressive amount of torque. And so that brilliance guy, that's what got me to try to get him. I'm glad you're on the show. Welcome to the Mad Science Show. We got Thomas on here, we got Muddy and Raymond, they're on the same call there, so say hi, everybody. Nobody?
Yeah, I had to unmute my mic.
Oh.
I just subscribed so I can have a good look at what's in there now.
Well, this is Jermaine. Where are you at, Jermaine? You in the UK or where?
Nope, Netherlands.
Say that again?
The Netherlands.
Netherlands, there you go. Cool. Alright, well, I don't remember where all the rest of these guys are, but we've been hanging out for a bit. Anyway, you was asking a question in there about the difference between a helix cone or a pancake on a primary coil, and essentially it's just how you're wanting to focus that magnetic flux, that pulse that's coming in. Same thing's done with cores and transformers, you know, and you can, all you're doing with the copper wire is literally guiding the energy to where you want to go. And mm-hmm. by adding more turns on there, you're obviously strengthening that field, because the magnetic field's only going to come so far off of each copper turn or whatever. But every time you make another turn, then that field of the two magnetic fields will couple with each other and make a larger one, and that continues on. That's why the pancake coil is so wide on the outside. But when that thing pulses up as it collapses, then it that all that energy energizes the secondary on the way back in. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the basic understanding of that. But the only difference between those two coils is basically where you want to focus that magnetic flux line. It's that simple.
And a helix coil works best for me, for my Tesla coil.
Yeah. So you're probably focusing it in, you know, like a vortex, centralizing it in. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that way, as the field is expanding and collapsing, those two fields are bouncing off of each other like a spring. If that makes any sense to you.
Yeah.
So the same thing with the Venturi effect is the same thing with the Tesla coil, is that whenever you force pressure one way, it actually literally drags energy in from the surrounding area. If you've ever messed around with a Van de Graaff or a Wim Hof generator, you had your hand near where the spark gap or anywhere near the system, you can literally feel a ion wind right before that spark jumps across there, as that energy is being built up. As it's pressurizing on one side and it's getting ready to leap across that gap, you can feel an ion wind being generated. So that basically...
I can feel it when I almost touch your capacitor. I have my glass shell capacitors with foil wrapped around them. And when I get close, I can feel the ion wind there.
Yeah. And at some points... like right before a lightning strike, if you're ever outside and you feel the hair on the back of your neck start to stand up, that's when you want to take off. Don't just stand there. Hit the bricks. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, where were we, guys? Raymond, do you have something else you was adding in there? Raymond. He's on. Must be on a conference call. He's having his people get with our people, and they'll talk about what they're going to talk about over the break. What do you think? So, basically, pumping water or pumping electricity, all the same thing. You can use the Venturi effect for electricity. You can use it for water. You can use it for air pressure. You can use it to mix water. You can use it to mix water with air pressure. So if you want to aerate your water, Venturi will work for that. If you want to just pressurize it and add more pressure, then you can actually pump water with water. Isn't that cool? Pumping water with water. Taking that water as it's coming down the stream and using that mechanical force that is generated by, Muddy said 7 pounds per gallon, and I'm saying that somebody told me 8 pounds per gallon, so somewhere in that range. An 8-pound force coming down that creek at 6 miles an hour will get some work done. Am I wrong?
Are you 100% correct? If it's going that fast, 6 miles an hour?
Yeah.
How wide is the creek? How many gallons per minute do you think?
Well, there's thousands of gallons per minute to go down that creek.
And how big is that creek?
Oh, that's probably about, I'd say, 4 feet wide.
So the current injury has been deep?
I don't know the total depth of it, but I've seen that creek come over the bank a couple times, and at that point it would be at least 4 feet deep.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
Average per year would be a foot deep, and your head is your pressure.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of there's a lot of pressure down in there. I wouldn't want to be in it when it's flooding, because it'd take you on over to the city lake. But my point was that sometimes when it rains out, that creek is running good, but I'm not getting enough runoff to fill in my new pond as quickly as I want. So my idea was, I'm seeing all these thousands of gallons going down the creek, but I want them in my pond, and so that's where the whole water wheel issue came up. And so I figured, if I'm going to do a water wheel, I might as well throw a Venturi in there as well, and a water ram, and use all the same force with multiple different anomalies to be able to do a lot of work. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
I can turn that same water wheel into a generator by turning the generator head while turning a pump, and it doesn't even have to be the same exact system. I can make a multi-stage system, and I was getting ready to ask you guys what you thought about a multi-stage Venturi. like, if you were using water to pump through a venturi, which you know will pump water out of the other side, what would stop you from taking that water from the one venturi and using that pressure coming out the other side to run into another venturi? You see what I'm saying?
Pressure would drop.
Yeah.
Pressure would drop afterward. The current would maintain the same through all, because the same water goes through all, and whatever comes in, one comes out the other, but your pressure is different.
Yeah, but regardless, you would still be able to move the same amount of water, you know, but at a steady pace.
I don't see the benefit, seeing as the pressure would be divided. When you go to the second one, because it's trapping the water to go through the second one, your pressure is going to be half it, evenly distributed between the two. So that would half your power.
I guess mechanically I'm seeing something different, because I'm not talking about having them like run in series with each other. I'm having them like run side by side. So they're like their own.
Now there you go.
They're their own independent system.
Yeah, that
would be more current, because you got plenty of current if you got thousands of gallons past the point per second.
Yeah. So when you got all that, you got, like, let's say you got the equivalents of four garden hoses, and you're trying to ram it into one garden hose, you're going to get a lot of pressure buildup. And so that'll give you your lift that you need, go farther. See what I mean?
You got plenty of head from one end of your property.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. And so, Tom, or Jermaine, did you throw your? Did you ever get your YouTube link inside there?
Not yet.
Well, just throw it in this Skype chat right here. We'll post it for you later, because I'd like people to check out your solenoid pump, and if you do some more videos on your bug zapper or Tesla coil or whatever.
Yeah.
What I like about it is he's taking it to the next step, guys. Whenever you do any kind of research out there, when I show you a little tiny anomaly or something like that, and you take that and you run with it, and you say, well, what if I added this effect with that effect, and so on down the line. See, this is where all the new innovations come about. You know, the guy that did the Venturi, basically, he did it's a multi-purpose deal. You can pump water with it. You can aerate water with it. You can mix fuel mixtures with it. And so it's got uses from all different parts. You know, race cars, they got Venturis in there, you know, the turbine and stuff. It's a Venturi. It pressurizes on one side, uses heat exhaust that coming out the other side, and it'll suck air in and pressurize it into hotter air down there that then has to be run through an intercooler that gets force fed up into your intake and causes your car to have more pressure inside there, run better. You guys understand how turbo works? Well, y'all leave me hanging out here like I'm throw y'all under the ricochet.
By the way, I'm tying knots here. What size is your neck?
I don't know. It's like this wide.
Oh, huh. Yeah. See? Okay, I got it again.
All right, cool. You're going to drag me behind the rickshaw with a neck tie, whatever. All right, so that was the whole idea, is to basically use the same amount of energy multiple times and get work done. So, any thoughts on the matter? Anybody?
I think you're on the right track, because that's exactly what I was trying to do with my cold steam turbine. Just take the heat from the backside of the air conditioner, turn it into electricity, and run it back through the air conditioner.
Oh, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because Thomas and I basically, briefly before you guys got here, kind of touched on that, was to, because a Venturi can draw a vacuum. And then we know that if you pump water up and you got that water pressure up there, when that water drops, you can also use that same Venturi effect to draw a vacuum. And you know that water will boil at lower temperatures in a vacuum. You see what I'm saying? Now you could actually turn that water pressure into heat.
Exactly. Exactly. And then take the heat, turn it into electricity.
Yeah. So it's unlimited if you understand the basic science and the basic physics of all these different things, the mechanical ways that they work. Man, there's just so many different directions that you could take this. You know, and as far as if you can draw a vacuum, you can also create air pressure, and you can take that pressure and you can throw air into an air compressor tank. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do. I see exactly what you mean, because I was getting ready to start talking to Scott about, he loved building Sterling engines, and man, he is good at it. The thing is, Sterling engines is a heat engine. I've said this before on this same show many times. A heat engine does not run on heat. It runs on a difference in temperature.
Yeah.
In order for it to run, you got to put heat in it, but you got to get the heat out of it, too, as well.
Well.
So, please, why can't, Scott and I are going to get our heads together after the show, and we're going to try to design a Sterling engine to where when you take the heat off on one side, you're actually putting it in the hot side of another one. And see if we can actually build it and make it do that, and how many times can we do it, which will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have always been correct, 100% correct, that energy is free. It's the machine that you have built to use it that costs money.
Yeah, so you brought together a good point with that Stirling engine technology and raising and lowering water and air pressure. When you compress air, it heats up, and draw a vacuum, water will boil at a lower temperature, so we can actually generate heat in the process, which we know we can turn into thermoelectrics. But there's another one out there from the Lord Kelvin generator that as the water's falling, you can build up a static charge as well. So it's unlimited. You see what I'm saying?
The thing is, I'm not trying to push the water towards pump, okay? But I'm just trying to explain a little something about it that people miss. And that is, they did several experiments, several people on their own have done experiments. There was a college, I can't think of the name of it, that even got a government grant, something like $2.5-3 million, to build one in their engineering department and actually measure its input and output and blah, blah, blah. And they said it was one of the most efficient water pumps you could possibly have. However, it was not over unity. But the thing, what my point is, they did not measure the power of the compressed air that came out of it. Only the amount of water that came out and how high they pumped it and how much energy it took to pump it. So, therefore, their figures are wrong. It's a thing of 90 to 95% efficient. Wait a minute. What about we use the air pressure? That gives us 110 to 115% efficiency. Over unity.
Well, and that's I'm getting ready to say that, because when you said that they didn't measure the air pressure on the other, they're not compensating for, like, if I pump water way up in the air and I just let that water drop let's say I put it in a system that's going to rain it down like a shower, all right? As that's raining down like a shower, there's some multiple things that are going on. There's an actual temperature drop that's going to occur in that area where the shower is coming down, which is going to cause some sort of force from any heat around it. You know, that heat and that cold will work together or fight against each other, vice versa. And then as that water's falling, you could build up static charge on multiple droplets clear across this thing and build up one massive static charge that could actually be put on plates, basically a big giant capacitor that could store charge. And so I only use this amount of energy to get it up that high. Once I got it up that high, then I decided just to let it drop and let nature do what nature does. And in the process, it started off a domino effect that not only changed the temperature in the vicinity, but it also built up a static charge there as well. So how is that not over unity?
Tell me. That's what I keep trying to say, man. I mean, over unity is not generating more electricity or more power than you put into something. Over unity is making it more efficient. That's all.
Well,
so you use the same energy over and over and over again. You use heat to make electricity. Well, then you got to get rid of that heat. So So you use it through another one, another process that makes electricity. I mean, you know, they go, what about the Peltier devices? The one you heat on one side, you cool it on the other, and it makes electricity.
Well, there you go. There's another potential, because cavitation, if you spin water fast enough, you can get water to heat up. And the temperature difference of one water stream on the other side cooling one side of it down, as opposed to the cavitated side spinning it down on the other side, heating it up on the other side. Now you got that, see, just like a Stirling engine. The Peltier element, it works off of the temperature differences, and the Stirling engine works off the temperature difference. Everything has to do with heat and airflow and pressure anyway. So if you're going to be dropping this water down anyway, why not drop it into a fashion where it actually causes its own cavitation from spinning around in circles? And as that's coming down there, you got an insulated deal on one side that has a Peltier element, because that water temperature is raising up. The temperature of that water being cavitated on one side transferring to that side of the Peltier element, and even the air on the outside, temperature difference, is going to produce an electric charge. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, no?
Yep, I do. See exactly what you're saying. I don't know if the resistors do or not.
Well, basically, you're taking the same amount of force and you're using it multiple different ways. See, that the internal combustion engine, if, as far as I'm concerned, if there was ever proof of over-unity, the internal combustion engine should be that, because you take away the radiator and that engine will destroy itself. You didn't put no more energy in to cause this effect. You just took one part of the system away and it literally tore itself up. So you're producing so much heat energy, so much wasted energy, that if you can't figure out a way to send that energy away from that motor will tear itself up. You didn't use any more fuel to do it, and in all reality, you could actually back that fuel down by using the other technologies we were talking about vaporizing the fuel before you ever even send it in there and getting the perfect burn off of it. You see what I mean? And then take that waste energy and turn it into thermoelectrics.
Let's go to sort of the Stirling engine. Now you've got so much heat on the input, and some of that gets turned into mechanical, and then you still, and your cold end is still hot, but just not as hot as the other. So you don't have as much to turn into your next Stirling engine. There will be drop off and power losses because you're turning some of it into mechanical. So you can't just go an endless stream. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, see, I'm not trying to get over unity. I'm not trying to get out more than I'm putting in. All I'm trying to do is use everything to its maximum efficiency. And if I can put one generator in there to produce so many volts, watts, amps, or whatever, that one by itself, you know, maybe ain't going to do the whole job that I need. So I throw one in there side by side with it. I mean, the creek's 4 feet wide, and I'm not going to stop that water pressure no matter how hard I try. You know, the worst case scenario is every once in a while I got to get in there and clean out some trash to clear it out. But if that water pressure's coming through there anyway, you know, and I can turn 6 or 8 of these doggone things sitting side by side with each other and then funnel all that energy into one system that's going to pressurize it to give me every bit of power that I need to do whatever I want. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to just put one windmill up. You can put 1,000 of them up. So, and it didn't cost me nothing. The creek run whether I like it or not. So I might as well use some of that force when it's coming through. And if the creek goes dry, well, then it'll just sit there until the next time the energy does come through, and I'll use it then. Ain't no difference in the solar panel. If you got a solar panel out in the sun, and then it gets dark at night. You see what I mean?
Collection and use of waste energy.
Yeah. That's the simple of it, because you know you can store energy. You can store air pressure, you can store electrical pressure, you can store pressure of any type. Once you get it into a sealed container, it's trying to find a way out. It's cramming itself in there. And at a certain point, you can't pressurize it anymore. One of two things is either going to happen. It's either going to stop the flow, or whatever container, the strongest force is going to win out. So if you blow a balloon up and you keep blowing the balloon up and you're sitting there and you're telling the little kid, hold on a second, one more puff and I'll have this balloon for you. And then the thing explodes in your face and the little kid gets a frowny face and cries because you just blew up his balloon, scared the crud out of him. You see what I mean? That's the point. So that energy pressure, basically money in the bank. So if you can pump water 30 feet up in the air and you already got your pond filled up, you just store that water till the next time you need it. And if you don't need it right out of the gate, you need a little bit of electricity, just dump that water back down into the creek and have it run turbines on the way down. Have it build up a static charge on the way down. What do you think? Have it produce air pressure to pressurize the tank at the bottom. Now you can air up your tire with that same amount of energy. So basically, all I'm talking about is everybody is all talking about recycling this and recycling that. You recycle your trash. The people over in Europe turning old plastic bottles into gasoline. Petrol is what they call it. They refine the old plastic bottle, turn it back into gasoline. So if you can recycle your trash, why can't you recycle your energy as well? Because according to the laws of physics, energy can neither be created nor destroyed, so where in the heck did it go? It's all in Raymond's pocket. That's where I saw it went. Raymond, you got all that energy in your pocket?
Most of it. I've got some fuel that spilled a little out the other day.
Man. Well, be careful, man, because you overpressurize your pocket, it can explode. It could be a safety hazard.
About that video Scott and I made about being lollipop, and since my pockets got full, I was wondering if I could store a little bit in my teeth,
maybe,
or my tongue or something.
You give it a try.
I can store it somewhere.
All I'm saying is there's tons of natural forces out there, and when you use one of them, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction is what they say. Alright, so when you drop something, you're going to cause something to happen. You'll have some vibrations that you could pick up with piezoelectrics. You see what I mean? Like, as if I got a waterfall, and at the bottom of my waterfall, I have a metal plate that has piezoelectrics built into it. When that water's banging on that metal plate, causing vibration, it will take that acoustic wave down into the doggone or pressure wave, however you want to say it. I mean, it's all the same to me as far as I'm concerned. But it'll take it down in there, it'll flex those crystals, produce electrical charge, which then in turn could be stored. So you could get the falling water pressure from banging on it as it lands. You could get the static charge built up as it falls. You can build a wind pressure. You could use it to create a vacuum. The same amount of energy being used for multi-purposes at the same exact time. How's that not over unity, man? I mean, it just sounds like over unity when you're talking about all the different methods that you could use it to create a vacuum or air pressure or heat, you know, whatever. It's understanding the simple science of the whole deal and the basic mechanics, and man, you got it made. That doggone solenoid engine that Germain made. You got to see it, man. Go to his YouTube channel. Stephen Gibbons posted a tiny URL to Jermaine's YouTube channel. Go over there and subscribe to him. Support him in his work. He's still in school, and you can help him out with some projects. Show him how to do a Stirling engine or whatever. Combine a Stirling engine with a solenoid engine, with a Venturi effect, water pumps, do all these. I mean, just take that one little thing and expand on it to the extreme to where now you're generating power that you can in turn, at the very least, extend the life of the battery used to run the motor or whatever. You see what I mean? At the very least. And at the maximum, be able to draw extra energy in from other systems to cause that thing to run by itself. What do you think? I believe it's possible. They say that perpetual motion ain't possible, but that's because they're talking about one force working on one force. Well, what about one force being supplemented by 1,000 forces?
Actually, I don't want to tick you off or anything or make you angry, but I don't believe it's possible.
Well,
I know it's possible.
There you go. How's that going to make me angry?
Well, I mean, sometimes people take the first word you say.
No, I listen to all the details, man.
Yeah, when I say I don't believe it's possible. I believe it. I know. I don't believe it's impossible. I believe it's totally possible.
Well,
I agree with you.
That's a good disagreement.
All right.
See, you know, like I said,
you said it's perfect. It's 100%. I mean, people just need to learn that you can't create energy. You can generate energy from another source of energy, but you cannot. In other words, you can generate one source of one type of energy by using another type of energy. But you're going to have a machine that costs money to build to change it from one form to another.
Yeah, here, let me point something out here. This is cool. Tell me if this wouldn't be really cool. All right, an air conditioner will use a lot of energy because it has to run an air compressor, right? So what if you took some knowledge that you could... Anybody who's ever stood next to a waterfall knows that it's really cool around a waterfall. And there's a reason, because that falling water is creating a cooling effect and it's taking heat out of the air, moving it around, and so that energy transfer, the heat transfer that's going on, is causing it to have a cool breeze going. So imagine if you built a system to pump water up out of your creek, and then you had a long culvert pipe that went all the way up underneath your house that sits on the hill, and you had that waterfall falling right directly in front of that culvert pipe. And as air was being slowly drawn through that culvert pipe, you would get that cooling effect, that same heat pump transfer that you'd get from an air conditioner without ever even having to pay for it. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, no, yeah, no.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
So,
matter of fact, I've seen some people wanting to build a nice evaporative cooler. If you can just basically get a bunch of sheets or t-shirt material, whatever, and you can hang it into a pattern where the air has to go a long way. And just lick it up there or just keep it wet and let the air take the long way through. By the time it gets down to the other end, I mean, sure, it's got moisture in it, but it definitely cooled the air quite
a bit. But see, Muddy, moisture...
I take my hose and I spray it up into the trees in the direction that the wind's coming from.
Yeah.
And because the air is coming across the trees, that water, that air that is cooled comes down. And I tell you what, I can get up to about 15 degrees drop in the air that comes across in front, you know, in front of the pallets shed and stuff like that. Just by spraying the trees up in that direction, I don't have to use very much at all.
Well, let me add another layer to this deal right here. While you're doing what you're doing with your evaporative cooling, and now you're getting moisture built up in the air, you could also use the elements outside, such as the heat and the temperature difference inside from your evaporative cooler, to literally build a dehumidifying system that would literally distill water for you. So it'd pick water up out of the air and clean it for you. You can have drinking water right there in the same system. What do you think?
I think you're perfectly right. It would be a type, not actual distillation, but a type of distillation process where you could actually purify water.
Yeah. So essentially, you could turn your air conditioner off because you don't need it no more. And we know you can turn your hot water heater off because Muddy talked about his compost water heater that would go up to about, I think you said, 160, 180 degrees?
Exactly.
All right, so you don't need your water heater anymore. So now we've shut off the air conditioner, we've shut off the water heater, and all we're doing is using the water that we pumped out of the creek to pump it up a hill, store it in pressurized container, to where then in turn we could drop it down, pull off a static charge, some air pressure, and some vacuum, and at the same time some cooling, which is being transferred through a conduit that goes up underneath your house and, you know, up maybe up to the ceiling, because heat rises and cold air falls, and so as that cool air is coming down from the ceiling and it has a little bit of moisture content in it, you could use the temperature difference from even the compost pump to run that hot water through a coil, which that then in turn would, that moisture hitting that hot coil would condensate, and you get water buildup on that, which you could then in turn capture into a storage tank and filter it out, and then you know, now you got fresh drinking water.
Or drip it by a couple open cans of the wire to the other side here, making it. Lord Kelvin generator.
There you go.
And
yes.
If I store that into a capacitor with a bleeder resistor, you can charge your cell phone and then drink it.
See?
Yeah. There you go.
That's brilliant.
I think so.
Yes. Like air conditioning, clean drinking water, and electricity all the same.
Yep. And if all the energy that you initially started came from nature, the sunlight outside, or rotting heap of pile of old plants or grass clippings or whatever, and the creek flowing by down there, you just made yourself a completely self-contained unit that you didn't pay nothing for. All you did was recycle the junk that was around you.
Right.
And you know how many doggone covert pipes there are in neighborhoods?
I'm sorry, I was talking the same time as you.
Oh, go ahead.
I've heard it said that you drink that distilled water and it's going to leach the vitamins out of you. And people that want to drink distilled water all the time wind up dying because it just depletes the body of anything, which I can understand because just the osmosis and everything. All your vitamins in your body and everything that you need, nutrients, antioxidants, all that, go into the water and then you get rid of it. But then there's the deal of, who said you weren't taking vitamins?
Yeah, and who said that you couldn't run that water back through a natural water filtration system that in turn would put that iron and supplements back into the water?
Something like a sand filter.
Yeah.
So culture on the top, it eats the bad bacteria and turns that into nutrients.
Has any of you guys ever heard that doggone that phrase, don't work harder, work smarter?
Right.
That's all we're talking about here.
Sand filters is about the best for putting the stuff back into the water, but you still have to feed the bacteria with something. So
I seem to recall there was another statement, too. It was something like, don't be a smart mouth. You should put a detailed, like a sketch and some notes together on how to set that system up, buddy.
What, the sand filter? Oh man, those are.
Well, with the bacteria you're supposed to use and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Oh, that forms automatically. That forms automatically just by the sunlight hitting the top. It makes the bad bacteria weak, which empowers the good bacteria to eat the bad bacteria. The bad bacteria put toxins in your water. But the good bacteria eat them and basically put minerals and stuff back in your water. So just having the sun, the top 2 inches forms an eco-culture within a week or two. And from there on, man, you're good. You throw a silver coin down the bottom, and that's supposed to kill off anything else.
All right, everybody, whoever uses YouTube out there, go subscribe to Jermaine's Experiment Lab over there. Go subscribe to... Buddy, what's the name of your channel? It's Green Wind and Other Home Alternatives. Is that the short?
Just Muddy, Muddy, Muddy Man.
Yeah.
HTTP, whatever you want to call it, www.youtube.com/ Muddy, Muddy, Muddy Man.
And what's yours, Raymond?
What's that?
What's yours?
R-Head 100.
Yeah, R-Head 100. 100.
All right. Everybody knows OSHA's is. Thomas, do you got one that you want to publicize?
What's that?
Do you have a YouTube that you want to publicize?
I've already put it out there.
All right.
I'll get my website info on Shazoo's.net or Shazoo'sRadio.net, I should say.
Cool. So,
don't want to give anybody an aneurysm from going to the other one.
Yeah. So, folks, if you're listening in and you ain't accessed, just go back and look back through the chat room, and you'll find these links that we're talking about. You see, you miss out on a lot of stuff when you don't show up in the chat room. So, show up in the chat room. Say hi.
Subscribe to Shazam.
Yeah. So
I want
to see how many subscribers we can get for Jermaine out there. So he's doing some work. He's going to school. Help him out with his research, and you know, that's how it works, man. I want to encourage people like Jermaine and others out there that have smaller YouTube channels to keep on doing your work, and let me know you're there so I can tell everybody you're there and we can get these researchers together, because that's the whole point. You know, it's bringing all the brilliant minds from around the globe together, and we already got the technology, man. I've said this a million and one times. We've got the technology to build the perfect... basically, all we're doing is tapping in. We're not creating anything, we're not destroying anything, as long as we do it, you know, environmentally friendly, which is, we've already proven can be done. We can have all the luxuries that we got, air conditioning, heating, cooling, lighting, all that kind of stuff, and we can build the perfect naturally self-contained environmentally friendly systems using just what nature provided. Wind's going to blow whether you use it or not. The rivers are going to flow whether you use it or not. And if you can figure out a way to tap into them and take some of that energy down to get some work done, there you go. They've been doing it for hundreds of years, man. They got sawmills that run off of rivers. Did you know that? Anybody?
Yeah. Yes. In fact, the Dutch that built the windmill.
They have some in Holland, yeah.
Pump water out of swampland. And also, while it was doing that, they would use the windmills inside to grind grain.
Yeah. Yep. Jermaine, you was about to say something?
No, I'm Seth. Yeah, I know that they have some in Holland. I've been to some.
Ones that, like sawmills that work on the river?
Yeah, yeah.
See, now it's still technology that's still functioning. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about. If we can get work done with what nature's already provided, and I bet around that doggone thing, I bet it looks... have you ever seen them pictures with the beautiful scenery, has a big giant water wheel on a mill or something like that? Got a scenic deal to it? Anybody know what the heck I'm talking about?
In fact, my mother, a couple of years ago, sent me an email, about 25 or 30 old pictures of old water wheels, grist mills, and stuff like that. And some of them were really beautiful and gorgeous.
Well, they took basic science and mechanics and they put it to work, and they're cutting wood with it, they're grinding grains with it, they're doing all kinds of stuff just by tapping into that water flow as it comes by. If you got a constant flow of river outside, man, I've actually seen, they got these brakes on windmills out in the country that were like, if you get a storm coming out, you shut it down and it actually turns the blade sideways so that it doesn't spin as easy in the wind, because those things can get going so fast they literally tear themselves apart. You guys ever seen that? Man, cricket.
I have to keep muting my mic, otherwise you hear all this crap going on over here.
Oh. So,
and it takes me a while sometimes to get back in and answer. Yes.
Yeah, you're making money at the same time you're on the show.
So. Right.
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, we're multitasking here. So, you know, basically, if you hear any tapping or the stuff going on in the background, that's because somebody's searching up links or talking to somebody in the chat room. Get on over here and get involved, man. Don't everybody try to talk at once, though, or jump to the microphone at once, because you could chip a tooth.
Scott and I over here, we're making coffee. We're texting on the telephone, making money, and we're also making drawings and designing this Sterling engine.
Cool.
So we're multitasking big time over here. We always have fun, don't we?
So check this out. You pump the water up, weigh it real high, you put it into a storage tank, you drop that water down, you create a vacuum, and on one side you're taking that vacuum, you're using it to heat water with, at a lower boiling temperature, and then you're using that boiling water that's inside that container to cause a temperature difference to run Muddy Sterling engine. On the opposite side, you have the Lord Kelvin side, where it's actually dropping raindrops down out of a sprinkler system through some plates and everything, that's actually building up a static charge, which in turn you're charging capacitor banks with. And so as that water's falling down in that mist, you're running that mist in front of a big huge culvert pipe that is running up underneath your house, which is now creating a cooling effect from the heat pump transfer going on there. That is now that air is being transferred, and the kicker about it is you don't even need a fan if you don't want a fan, because that cool air is going to move because of the temperature difference. There's going to be a flow through that pipe regardless of whether you got a fan on it or not. And so you guide that pipe into your house through the ceiling or whatever, then that cool air is going to drop back down through there and cool your house down. At the same time, while all this water is falling down causing this cooling effect, you got a system at the bottom which is catching a vibration of this water smacking on a plate at the bottom, producing yet even more of an electrical charge using piezoelectrics. And we're just getting started, because while you're boiling that water on the other side where Muddy and them's using it for a temperature difference for a Stirling engine, you've got thermocouples, thermopiles, and Peltier elements that could be used at the same time, all simultaneous. Because for every process out there, you essentially got some waste energy, because there's more energy there than you're going to need anyway in order to produce the temperature difference. So why not tap into that energy? Because every time you use any energy, so you produce some sort of altered force on the other side. You know, you wave your hand in the air, it creates a wave. Okay, that wave can be used as an energy source. You didn't waste nothing. You see what I mean?
Yeah. And what about aquifers?
You know, Scott and I were messing around earlier this morning with some piezo crystals.
Yeah.
I have 10,000 of them, and I just gave him a couple of hundred. So he can take home and play with.
Cool. And Jermaine,
I filled up a pill bottle with him. Yeah.
Jermaine, tell us your idea on aquifers.
There you go.
Now, what I was wondering, how do they work?
You mean like where the water's stored under a water table?
Yeah, in underground caves and.
Well, heck, man, there's another potential energy source there as well, you know, because as that water's being drawn off on one side and the water's filling in on the other side, you got raising and lowering, you could literally tap into a cave and create an air pressure. You see what I'm saying? Use the doggone lowering and raising of the water, and that water pressure coming and going inside there would produce airflow that, you know, blow up the kid's balloon with it. You see what I mean? The water table down there, there's caves that are full of water. There's miles and miles of caves that unexplored underground full of water. That's why I don't understand why people's always hollering how they're going to run out of water if you're in a drought and you're like California and you live right next to the ocean and you talk about how thirsty you are. Something's wrong. Modern day technology, they should text Dubai over there, ask them, how do you build them desalination plants?
Well, that's how them caves are formed, though, by that running water underground, too.
Yep, but do you know there's wind pressure under there?
It'd be pretty cool to have a doggone blade running under there while that water's flowing.
Yeah. There's probably, you know,
that's not a turbine that they can see.
Yeah, it's out of sight, out of mind, and if it's made out of the right materials, it's not going to pollute the aquifer or anything. So, you know, man, it's unlimited potential. We talk about everything here. You know, thermal vents all over the planet. There's aquifers that are filling, and there is a lake over in, I think it's Blue Springs, that has a, they call it a blowhole. Well, the pressure from the waves hitting on one side literally causes an air pressure in the lake that's at a lower level. And when that, every time a wave hits that overflow and it goes down into the other lake through the deal, it produces a massive amount of pressure that forces a big fountain of water up out of this blowhole. And so why couldn't you tap into that energy right there? You could put a like the paddle system that they put out for catching wave energy.
How about directional boring?
Yep.
When you take, you drill a hole. I know a lot of people have seen them, don't even know what they are, but guys pull them on trailers all around the place. They're constructing. You can bore a hole in the ground 2.5 inches in diameter, and with this machine, you can actually cause it to change directions. So why couldn't you go out in the desert where there's a big high mountain, get on top of it, bore a hole straight down, when you reach ground level, then turn it and come out, and then take your black pipe, plastic pipe, and run it up on the surface of the mountain, let the sun heat the water, the mountain will cool the water, so now all of a sudden the water is naturally circulating over and over and over and over again. Duh.
That's what I'm saying. If you're in the desert, you got heat energy. If you're in the cold, you got wind energy. It's unlimited. There's so much doggone energy flowing around us at all. We live in a sea of energy, and if you can't find free electricity, you're simply not looking hard enough, or you ain't paid attention. Because just in this show alone, and we've done many shows, there are so many different examples of ways to tap into the energy. Now, if you look at just one single anomaly by itself, you can use the laws of physics to deny it before you even try it. All right? And that's where a lot of the research stops, dead in its tracks. So I want to see the guys who are going to build it to see if it does work, and if it doesn't work, figure out why it doesn't work, and see if adding a supplementary deal like a solar panel or a wind generator would cause it to work. You see what I mean?
Yes, I see exactly what you mean.
Yeah, so we're...
Well, that's just too big and too complicated. How big is Lake Mead?
Yeah.
And the dam that holds the water back. And they built it, duh. Can it get too big?
Hawaii should not be paying an electric bill. Literally. They got volcanic islands all over. They got all kinds of... And even over there in Yellowstone Park, man. They got the old faithful geyser over there. They got thermal vents over there. They got water temperature differences, air temperature differences. They could make thermoelectrics. They could make Stirling-style engines. And they could do it in such a manner... Like what you were talking about earlier, that paddle was down there in the aquifer. It's out of sight, out of mind. You don't even see the generator. It's just, you tapped into it. You know? And put your doggone windmills up in the really fancy areas and make them look like palm trees, for Pete's sake. That's what they did with radio towers.
Isn't it Greenland or Iceland? One of them, there's a whole entire town that they heat, they get the water from the volcano, they heat it, and people heat their houses.
Well, there you go.
I mean, I'm not positive, but I think they even said that they do it for free.
Well,
I mean, people live in a cold, cold place, and they heat their homes for free.
See, if you wanted to build the system, and you say, well, you know, we got to build it, so it's going to cost money to build it. Okay, so... You tell everybody what you're fixing to do. We're going to build this thermal vent that's going to heat all your houses and run your electricity for free, but we got to pay for it first. So everybody, we're going to charge you taxes, and once this thing is completed and online, then the tax stops and it's done. Now you tell me...
It can't be totally free because there's going to have to be maintenance, okay?
Well, yeah, you have a general maintenance tax for public services anyway. What I'm saying is...
One penny for every 10 kilowatts.
Yeah,
you know?
That's fair. All right, so if I was a customer of a certain company and they said, we're going to do this, it's going to cost you this much for this many years so that we can pay for this thing, but once it's done, then your bill will drop off, that's money in the bank, man. Sure, I would go for that in a heartbeat, wouldn't you? If it's going to benefit the whole community and give everybody energy that they're not going to have to pay a massive light bill every month.
I would go for it in a hummingbird's heartbeat.
Yeah. That's fast.
Real fast. And I'll drag my pickup truck.
And what you were talking about drilling down and then drilling out to the side, too, they already have that technology. they've been using it for drilling for oil, where they drill down and then they push bladder water into bladders down there, and it the differential between the sides of the line that's running the drill down there causes it to bend around and twist around.
Yeah. I hope you were being facetious when you said they already have that technology.
Fracking. I mean,
my God, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those rigs rolling around town that drill holes under driveways and stuff like that for power lines and telephone lines. I mean, my God, the machine's only like $20,000 or $30,000, and it was
right. That's what, no, I'm not being facetious. I'm saying for anybody who doesn't know that you know, or they caught that as you have to drill down and then go out and down the side and drill in from the side or something.
Right.
You don't even have to do that. There's no guesswork in that either, because you're drilling one continuous line.
Exactly.
All and right. you can actually curve that drilling how you choose too.
All right, guys, we're down to the wire again. It's been a fascinating show, folks. Look around your community as it stands right now. And if you live near a house, right out in front of that house, you got a doggone culvert pipe that's going underneath the road, and it happens to be facing the way that the wind blows through that thing all the time. Run you a doggone flexible hose out there and pull some of that cool air into your house. That'll supplement some of your heating cooling bill. Right. There are methods unbelievable. If you live near a waterfall, you got cool air. All right. If you live near a thermal vent, you got heat. If you got the sunlight shining on you anytime during the day, you could use Muddy's plan for the wound up black tubing and even the compost one, so that even when the sun ain't out, that rotting grass clippings or whatever that's piled on top of that hose gonna produce. Look, we don't have an energy crisis. We got a common sense crisis. And if you paid attention in science, basic mechanics, and paying attention to all these little anomalies will give you the free energy that you seek. And that's it. Anybody got any last words before we peel?
Yes, I want to agree with you 117.5%.
Yeah.
We don't have an energy crisis. We have a common sense crisis and lazy people's crisis. I mean, Ben, get off your lazy butt and do something. It's there. Everything is there. All the technology we need is there, just waiting for some dummy to get off his dead butt and put it together like a puzzle.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Lazy people.
It's a crisis of common sense. It's not just a crisis of common sense. It's an infestation of people who don't care about anybody.
Exactly.
They're putting profit before the planet, profit before the people, profit before anything of common sense or any value.
Amen.
Well, laziness and ignorance puts money in the fat cat's wallet. So if you are one of the two crowds that are involved with laziness or ignorance, then you pay the bill. If you got some sort of basic concept of science and physics or anything like that, you can see what nature does, and you can tap into that energy, and it's perfectly free. And if you do it in a beautiful fashion, not even your homeowners association will know about it. You're using your swimming pool to cool things down, or use it for electricity, where you got your solar panels down inside your swimming pool, because now that sunlight's getting evenly distributed through that refraction deal going on there, they can't even see your solar panels. They saw your swimming pool. See what I mean? All right, folks, that's it. We got to get out of here. Thomas, you got anything last? No? Yeah? What about you, Jermaine? Any last words you want to throw out there real quick?
Nah, not really. I don't know what to say.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on here, man. I hope we can get some people over to your YouTube, because I want to encourage you and inspire you to continue your research, because I was fascinated with what I saw with your solenoid motor. And I want to see how far you can take that, man. We talked about a few ideas, and just take it as far as you can go, man. Alright, thanks everybody. You've been listening to Mad Science Show. Stay tuned tomorrow for the Knights of the Round Table, and we hope to see you here. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Bye.
Space, the final frontier. These These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.